This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, thank you, voicemail lady. We have the Jason Task Force call. Mike Sessa here on Monday, October 23rd with John Lovell, Susan McCracken, Steve Margano, Michael Morris. Did I miss anybody?
That unfortunately is it.
Yep, May said she couldn't make it. Alex said he probably couldn't make it. So let's go. But Michael, you sent out an email, and maybe that's a good place to start because we had talked about if we're going to do this, let's do it in a disciplined method. And it was John that had the excellent idea. Let's
right.
talk about a mission. Let's talk about a mission statement, and then from there we can go on. So I liked yours better. Mine was just to get the ball rolling. But do you want to read them? You want to take over? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. I'd read the first one to. Due to the adoption of JSON as a preferred transmission technology in other industries, the beginning of JSON adoption across education, and the emergence of JSON as a more desirable programming language by technologists, the mission of JSON Task Force is to recommend standardized guidelines and tools for A, for L, and PESC on transforming XML to JSON. And I thought that was fine, except I thought that was a little too focused because I don't think it's just transformation, Michael, right?
Sorry, I'm
also
I like yours better, but it needs to be a little wordsmith. But I think you had all the right parts in there.
Michael,
yeah.
did you get the copy of the version that I sent you this morning? I still can't distribute to the listserv, but.
Did you send another one? Let me check. I'll bring that up. That's what we want, is somebody to take what we started with and then start enhancing that. My idea was let's focus on the stakeholders because those are the people that are affected by this. And so it should be in the, and a mission should be in the context of those stakeholders. So that's what I tried to do. Steve, you got one? Let me see. I at least can read it.
So, Michael, if you're waiting for something to come through, I had a couple of points that maybe, you know.
Sure.
Handled in this draft. But I think your point about just transformation is a good point, right? You know, we've talked a lot about you know, how we'll probably figure out what those guidelines is we'll start with some JSON and work back towards the XML, and then we can tell people how to start with the XML and work back towards JSON. So you know, we might want to say, you know, transformation and or structure, something along those lines. You know, how you're putting this stuff together, whether you're translating it or not. Because we really need to get people to catch on to
right,
the fact that
right.
they need to build it so that if somebody later needs to translate it, they can, because that's kind of our problem right now. It's like, we used all the features of XML, and now what do we do? I think that's a good point to look at. And then the other thing is, you know, calling JSON a programming language is, of course, a stretch for me, you know, earlier back in the wording. But that doesn't mean I know what to call it. I mean, we could literally say the JavaScript object notation so that people would get the sense that, oh, it's that thing. But, I'm kind of like, no, we can't call it that. And, but then I was like, I have no constructive feedback, so I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it humbly and thank you for, you know, doing such a good first or second stab, whatever this is, at it.
Yeah, I've been calling it technology, but that's a stretch, too. But that's and Michael and John, one of the things I think that needs to come out in the mission statement, and I'm sorry if I keep bringing this up, but maybe I need to understand it differently. And John, I just sent you a document, and I know you won't have time to look at it, but what it shows is that when PESC migrated from EDI, which was the legacy language, you know, it started before we were around, when XML came around, we developed, for lack of a better word, pure XML schema. And then after, we had another group do crosswalks between the EDI and the XML and the XML and the EDI. My question is, and I think it needs to come out right in the mission statement, is from PESC's history, that shows what we have done. Are we taking that approach again? Are we going to go for pure JSON and then deal with transformation? Because I think that needs to be clear, whether it's up front in the vision, because I will get lost. I need to be able to explain it to different audiences. And so I think it needs to boil out somewhere.
Well, Michael, all of a sudden I know why you and Larry get along. That's supposed to be funny. I'm sorry. Like I said, I think our methodology is going to be to say, this is what we want the JSON to look like when we're done. Work back towards the XML. And then, I mean, like, you guys may do it differently than we do, right? But we want to land on the same guidelines. So you could say, well, we're actually going to define JSON and work back towards the XML, or we're just going to do a mapping between our few JSON objects and our XML objects. You know, with SIF having hundreds of objects, I see us having a long path. You know, we'll figure out what's ideal here, and we'll chop it around and make sure everybody goes, yeah, that's the way that should work. I've got a good start on that work from our infrastructure team. It was, you know, looking at both the short-term game and the long-term game, and this group can look at the long-term game and say, this is where we're trying to get. And if that means you guys can go directly to it and do a couple mappings, great. But I think we're going to be more incremental over on my side of the house. I think we're going to have to take these XML things and clean them up and figure out what that means. Do we call it SIF 4? Do we do a weird, you know, half point release? Do we add objects that, you know, do we mark certain objects as being JSON translatable? Blah, blah, blah. You know, what do we do? We'll probably have an interim scheme where we do things that aren't quite ideal, but, you know, as long as we got the rules right, that's the direction we're swimming towards. And so I think we'll have kind of a two-step process. If you guys can make a great leap, go ahead and make a great leap. But I think we both need to agree on that we're leaping to JSON. The end JSON is going to be generally structured like this. And that means that any XML that's used is going to have to be structured like this. And, you know, in a few short years, we'll find we're all happily aligned is the idea in my mind. Does that help or not?
Yes,
that will be that we'll be doing something different, but it should end up in the same place.
Exactly. We're going to have to approach it a little bit differently just because of where we are. You guys go and approach it your way, and you guys go and approach it we'll go and approach it our way, but we're both swimming towards the exact same thing. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
But we're starting from different starting points. We have our schema definitions have tended to be very simple. There's not a lot of links between the various elements. There's very few attributes. There's no lists. XML lists. All those things makes our attempt simpler, and we might be able to do it in one fell swoop with a set of design rules. Whereas
right.
You,
I don't tell you can.
Yep.
But
we
on our campus.
Go ahead, John.
But just to compare and contrast, right? Every one of our objects publishes an ID for linking as an attribute in the SIF3 data model, and the 2.8 and 2.7 data model, every single object. And those are both things that we would need to, well, that's something we would have to move in every single object to really do this cleanly. We, instead of it having calling it out as an attribute, we would need to call it out as just another, field or, you know, to use an XMLE term, you know, element in the JSON structure. And so right there off the bat, every single object has to change. Now, there's a pattern, right? The machine could do that one if we wrote a script. But, you know, it's also representative of how the rest of our stuff is built. in a lot of cases, right. If you have a foreign key and a foreign link, we've thrown that into an attribute. So, yeah, we've got a long way to go to get all the way to where we want to get. And you guys are happily closer, I think.
I would put an asterisk next to the word happily, but to be determined. Well, let me just circle back, and the reason for my question was I was going back to Michael's email, is because I think the last part of my one, which was the first one, the last part would then be wrong, because, you know, the mission statement should be, you know, we're both providing, you know, what Michael's, Michael, I can't, let me see if I can pull up AOL quick. Where are you, Michael? Sorry, hold on a sec. Michael Morris. Okay. Yeah, so the last part of mine where it said, you know, for transforming XML to JSON. And I think Michael's was more spot on to say to give them, you know, to give the education community, our members, users, a choice. Because that's the mission statement. And I think what I like is the next part we talked about, you know, A4L having its executable and PESC having its executable. So now we're both going to determine what's best for our communities. So that.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be necessary, so, don't you think?
Right. Right. And the approach might be that SIF is doing it, you know, from XML to JSON and PESC is doing write to JSON. You know, that's the way I think I need to explain it. So I think you guys need to respond to the way I say it, you know. Would that be right to say that's a possible outcome where we're providing existing standards adopters, the mission of the JSON task force is, you know, to provide choices. And then A4L goes out and says, and we'll be doing XML transformation, and PESC says we'll be doing straight JSON. Could that be a true scenario?
Sounds good to me. What do you think, Mr. Morris?
Yeah, I think we could end up in different places like that. I mean, because our adopters. Yeah.
It could also be that we are taking the same approach. A4L is,
yep.
is going JSON to XML. PESC is also going JSON to, XML to JSON, sorry. But I just wanted to know what the permutations were.
Yeah, but the important thing is we've agreed upon what the JSON looks like when we're done, what the rules are if we're doing XML, and we're both moving towards that.
I appreciate it.
Right now, it's Wild West out there, and just getting a couple bodies aligned would be really helpful.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, thank you for indulging me with my assertions here because, you know, I look at it as that, you know, I use the swimming pool analogy too, John, is we're swimming in the same pool. We're in the Olympic-sized pool. We're going in the same direction. But sometimes A4L goes a little to the left and sometimes PESC goes a little to the right. But we're in sync and, you know, I don't call this a fork in the road. You know, if you guys do XML to JSON and PESC does JSON. You know, that's why I want to avoid that word. We're not at a fork in the road with you guys. We're in harmony.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we're exactly. And in the end, we both want a beautiful song.
Yeah. And I'm also preempting by, you know, I want to be ready for someone to say, well, doesn't that, you know, aren't you guys splitting? If you're doing it differently? And the answer is no, you know.
No. Right, right. We actually had something where we could, you know, a one page or two pager where we said, here's the mission statement, here's the principles, and this is what it looks like when we're done. And, you know, and then, you know, if both sides actually choose a direction that's a little bit different to get there, then, you know, you've got just, you know, a line or three about, you know, how PESC is going to get there, how A4L is going to get there. So that you can be prepared for anything like that. Or, probably want to turn it into a press release.
John, it does bring up an interesting problem, though, that you're resolving and that I mean, we tended to use hierarchy in order to develop relationships. So we go down pretty deep in some of our XML, and that's the way the relationships are attained rather than through links and object identifiers. So,
sure. And I'm sure when people need to go ahead.
And so are we going to end up with something different in JSON though? How are you going to handle that linking that you have right now? Is there a design rule that would be a common design rule that we'd be trying to simplify? Are we going to use hierarchy for organizing all of our elements?
Wow. I haven't thought through this, obviously, but I'll give you my initial response is, you know, I think we're getting outside of what the group's really looking at, and maybe I'm wrong. But I'm thinking, you know, if somebody looked at my JSON structure and looked at your JSON structure, they'd go, ah, yes, nice, clean JSON. I can path on it the same way to get at whatever's in the fields, whether they be IDs, whether they be, you know, first name, last name, you know, you get the idea. And then if somebody, you know, went and looked at our XML when we're done with this, they'd look at it and say, ah, look, yes, it's clean. It converts nicely to JSON if I want to. And if I'm doing XPaths, I put in my slashes and I get right to the field and I don't have a lot of complex notation over here either. What a wonderful, beautiful world they've created. That's kind of my vision for this team. I never thought that we would, you know, readdress how the data models are structured. For one thing, you know, Access for Learning has some big objects with big hierarchies that generally throws in either a reporting category or some other special category for use cases when we want to, like, for instance, you know, student record exchange, move a whole student at once, IEP, move a whole IEP at once. We have some objects like that. And then we have all the little objects that are meant for the horizontal interoperability and the, you know, meshing of a diverse ecosystem, you know, at a local level that, you know, also get used to state reporting and stuff because they're supported at the local level. So, you know, it's not that we have one or the other. We have both based on use cases. Is somebody trying to jump in there?
I sent out Steve's interpreter. I don't think I read mine yet, but I'll read mine. But I think Steve did a really good job of, as Michael said, needed some wordsmithing. And Steve did a lot of work. So, I started off in order to form a more perfect union, and, you know, I was stealing from Lincoln, but that didn't work too well. So, in order to align with technology trends and information exchange while still supporting FASC and A4L existing standards to doctors, the mission of JSON Task Force is to create design rules for both XML and JSON that promote expression of comparable semantics, simplicity of translation, and ease of implementation so that the education community can have a choice of exchange formats without sacrificing interoperability. And Michael's right, we need some wordsmithing of that, and Steve did some of that. So I will read his. I did send it to you. You should have it. Let's see, I lost it. Where is it? Okay, I've lost Steve's.
It's the one you just sent us, right, Michael?
Yeah.
So go to your sent folder.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to do. And I sent it to... It's funny, it's at the John level. Okay. No, it's not. Did I resend? I resent. Oh, Steve.
Well,
yeah,
Peter, did I just ask?
Yeah, here it is. Whoops. Okay. The mission of the JSON Task Force. So he starts out with the mission instead of in order to form a more perfect whatever. Is to provide design rules for XML and JSON that promote expression of comparable semantics, simplicity of translation, and ease of implementation, providing the educational community with a choice of exchange formats, aligning with technology trends and information exchange, and providing continuing support for existing community standards. I think that's an improvement, so we're getting there.
Yeah, I like the ease of implementation part.
Yeah.
We're hearing a lot about that. Sure, you translated the XML into JSON, but it looks like XML you translated into JSON. You expect me to work with this?
Yeah. It's a big mess. So I think this is a good starting point. Any changes we want to make with this, and I like getting rid of the in order and really hitting right to the mission is, and then explaining why we're trying to make those design rules, what those design rules will do. So I think that's a good improvement on what I did. So thank you, Steve. That's really good.
That was done. Could we accept that as draft version 1?
Yep.
I mean,
sure. I guess Michael Sessa, my only concern would be, are you concerned that this, by not stating that XML and A4L, or excuse me, HESC and A4L may take different paths to get there?
That is
open in my mind. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yes, it is, because I think the mission statement now needs to be sort of part of, to me, a portfolio of documentation and artifacts that we'll produce.
Okay.
And, the next step is going to be, what we have to communicate also what the goals are and what the potential output, if I were reading this, it's like reading the news. Oh, this is a new group forming. What are they going to put out? A report on October 5th. Okay. I'll put that in my calendar. Look for a report. That's the type of, right now, just to get their attention. For me, it was more of getting the understanding in my head, not being a technologist, but knowing that permutation is possible. Now I think from my perspective, John, I kind of have to have the foundation of the house before I start building on top. And now I have the vision. So I think that will boil out through the rest of the documentation. But this mission statement now works perfectly because I have that understanding.
So you don't think we don't need to add A4L and PESC in the statement?
I think there should be, only because you don't know who the JSON task force is. Just from a marketing perspective, I think PESC and A4L should go somewhere in it.
Right. But we shouldn't talk about taking different paths to get to the same location. We should just talk about the mission of the joint PESC and A4L. It sounds horrible because it's not in reverse alphabetical order, but okay. JSON Task Force is to provide. I was trying to be magnanimous there, and it didn't roll.
Yeah, I know. You can. No, we can be first. You can be first. I don't have a problem. A is comes before P. We'll just say it was alphabetical.
Sure.
Is that the place to put it? The mission of the A4L slash PESC, or do you want to do some kind of and PESC? Or
I want to use the word
phrase that.
Something like through a joint partnership between A4L and PESC. Something like that, introductory, right off the top. But, we could continue to, wordsmith. That's what I was saying is, now let's see what else, what's the process after this. And the reason I say that, John, is because we're having a meeting in Toronto. Michael's going to dial in. He's not attending. But I want to socialize this, too. So I want to have more eyeballs and more ears and have some type of at least one version to go for that, because I think that's going to drum up a lot of interest. And I think that's, I'm very happy about this, this partnership, because as we communicate it and talk it up, if folks, you know, want to have a say, then we've created a seat for them. You know, it's almost like don't gripe after it's done. We still get that a lot, but anyway, I think it needs to be, you know, it needs to be up front somewhere. The word partnership is always a good thing.
Okay, we'll see. You want to
agree?
I was going to say, Michael, do you
want
to take
a positive after the Jason Task Force, a partnership? A partnership between PESC and A4L, or A4L and PESC.
Well, I mean, we're already partners, right? You guys have a partnership membership with us, and kind of whatever your equivalent is on the other side, that's why we can talk to each other. So, you know, we can use the word partnership if we want, but we don't have to act like it's a new thing.
Right.
Right.
We stick the word in continued partnership.
Continue.
I was going to ask, are there any other major topics we want to include? A timeline, you know, any other sort of marketing type things?
A timeline would be where you want to be is your vision. So we can establish a vision of where we want to be so we can start talking about a vision after we've settled on the mission.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the agenda of what we talk about on Thursday is our vision. But you got to have a mission first before you get your vision.
Yeah.
Where do we want to be? Where do we want to end up?
Well, while we're on the topic, do you guys have anything in mind?
In terms of vision?
Or timelines? And sort of to weed things out, the reason for my questioning is we haven't heard from anybody saying, well, if they don't have this within 6 months, I'm XYZ. I mean, we haven't heard anybody in the community. I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit.
So can I share what I've heard, Michael, and why we've kind of already started on this over on our side of the fence? We've got one company in particular, but other companies are starting to pick up on the fact that it would be really, really helpful. Is, if you guys are familiar with the sandboxing technology for APIs called Swagger, it's been converted over to a slightly broader mission, if you will, under the name OpenAPI. And they're working to develop a way to really be, in my mind, where they really are winding up with some of their other projects is that they're working to be the web services description language, you know, WSDL equivalent over in SOAP for REST. You can take, if you put together their config file, much like you put together a WSDL file, they can drive one of their sandboxes, granted in part, it still has to be backed by something, but it describes the API pieces. You can then take that and generate source code directly from it and have a library that'll, you know, work with it, a framework that'll serve it. Again, with, you know, extra work that has to go behind it to actually tie that into a database or application or another API or whatever is behind it. I think, you know, I started to clang the bell when I saw this, that I think we could potentially, you know, really miss a boat. WSDL was a huge success, propelled, you know, XML and SOAP forward and made sure they were the dominant player for, you know, it's debatable, somewhere in the 5 to 8 year range before REST really started to kick it in the teeth. It saw more adoption and growth once it was easy for the programmer to just pick it up and go, than it ever did before, you know, 2005 when those things were really settled. People were looking for drafts and things, you know, started to ratchet up. I brought that to our community And like I say, I've started to hear from some other businesses that, hey, yeah, this could be a thing. We'd like to help support this thing. And so we're just starting to have some rumblings, if you will. I haven't had anybody say 6 months or we're dead. But it would be really good to figure it out, especially because this is, you know, gonna define where both groups can kind of start their work, so you know where they're gonna end up. It'd be really good to scope this properly so that, you know, we can start on that work sooner rather than later. If you look at it, I mean, you can do XML and you can do JSON, but our current schemes for doing JSON aren't compatible with the open APIs. Just aren't, because the converted XML, it means that there's, well, and the way it was done, that means that there's changes. You know, lists aren't consistent. Whether or not you've got an optional attribute included doesn't convert consistently. You can't describe it in the XML schemas that effort requires, not XML schemas, JSON schemas that effort requires. So we're starting to have some rumblings and some concerns, and so we better figure this out sooner rather than later from our side. But it is just starting, and not everybody's on the same page.
You do need to have a JSON schema, just like with WSDL, you had to have an XML schema to define what the package looked like. So I think the question is, what do we do with web services? I mean, what do we do with these endpoints? Do we want to specify a set of endpoints as part of our standard? And
yeah, and we already do, right?
What you're thinking there, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even if you guys don't want to do that, right, there still might be somebody who wants to take your specs and do that. And they come along and say, hey, now that you've got this great JSON format, I want to stand up a service and I want to let all the clients know how they can communicate with it. And so I want to produce an open API, and they'll go and generate their client library based on that, or I'll generate them for them and have a whole bunch of them, you know, through an automated process that are always available, and so people can just come along and use my service. That's something we can't come close to supporting on the JSON side right now, even though we've technically been doing JSON for years. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I think we may want to do endpoints. I mean, if you look at Exchange, I mean, that's a wrapper, but it's still a web service being defined. And it has endpoints. It is going to be a standard for transport for PESC. So we're already doing that to some extent. We're defining those endpoints for transferring transcripts and things like that. Now, it's sort of like a bulk transfer. It's agnostic about what's being contained in it, but still a web service. So, yeah, I need to think through how we would use the notion of a web service endpoint, and it allows you to break up your schema into little pieces. So each of those Swagger or Open API documents would have that piece of the schema that describes the payload for that particular service. Both request and response.
Perhaps a better match for us than for you currently.
One of the comparisons, what's the name of the group we're doing that's doing the comparison with PESC standards and the European standards, Michael? What's that called?
That's the MREX project.
MREX, yes. I mean, the point they made is that one of the things they had that we didn't have was the ability to have a more granular kind of exchange. That we were, you know, this big monolithic thing, whereas they could break things up a little more. So I think that gets down to this, you know, defining a hierarchy of endpoints that can deliver bigger and bigger payloads. And one of the things we know with the big payloads, and one of the things that exchange has done, is it's not a synchronous callback, and in fact, it's an exchange of endpoints. So it's really not your simple, okay, do a request, get a response. You know, you don't say, I want a transcript, and the transcript comes back. It's a little more complicated than that. They don't want to do that synchronously. They don't want to wait while they process a transcript for that request may time out. So there's a whole bunch of issues here about how we might think about this. We may want to break our transcript up into parts and exchange it in little pieces. I mean, I look at the Jenkins API, and it really, you know, it breaks things up into really small pieces.
So Mr. Morris.
Yes. Mr. Wow. That's scary.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what to call you instead of Michael. I'd love it if you'd, look at the SIP3 infrastructure and, tell us why or why not you don't like it. Of course, one of the hardest parts of the SIP3 infrastructure is actually looking at it. Happy to send you if you want something that's, you know, a basic overview of the boring stuff that's just most REST-like and simple. I can send you a link to the Rick One Project's Swagger API, where we really have our first inroads in doing XML and JSON and a simple REST interface and not requiring initial environment and on-the-wire provisioning, but assuming it's been pre-configured and really cuts out all the traditional complexities of a SIP infrastructure. And then, of course, we build on it from there. Because, you know, when we built the SIP3 infrastructure, one of the things we said is, we'll run any data model. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why this has been the trickiest piece for us, because our initial take was that, well, as an infrastructure, we'll dictate how we convert XML and JSON. And, of course, that results in JSON that nobody wants to use. So that's one of the reasons why we're having these conversations right now, is it's gone full circle. But if you want to see what, we're doing for some, basic rostering and exchange stuff that along those lines, I'd be happy to send that along to you.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that would be great. It's been a while since I've looked at the SIF stuff. You were just transitioning to JSON. It's been several years since I've looked at it, so it'd probably be good to look at that again and see all the progress you've made over the years.
So are we going to talk about JAXP at the next meeting or this meeting?
Well, we don't have the right people here have been using that approach.
You've got people who have been using that approach too. That was our initial approach. we literally took what JAXP does and codified it.
And I can't remember the name of there's another package that they use to actually do the marshalling and unmarshalling. So they get their JAXP model, object model, and then they have certain tools that translate that into JSON. And that's probably where you got some of your it's also using all of those annotations, like this is an attribute, so that means I have to do something different with it. If you just use the simple model without the attributes, without the annotations, you could still produce a really simple XML and JSON.
They must be extending it. We've been using the people that have been using it on our side have just been using the built-in package, which does the Gosner notation, and it's completely blind to, for instance, whether something or not is a list until you've actually got two items that look like they're the same thing sitting next to each other. It's a pretty basic translation, and while it works really well as long as you've followed some pretty minimal rules in your XML like not having, well, it even has ways to mix content. But anyway, it converts quite readily back and forth. And if you're an XML person and you go, hey, I got XML, I got JSON in the middle, and I get the same XML back out the other side, this is really simple and looks really good, you'll be quite happy. You're a JSON person who receives what's in the middle, you'll be very unhappy. So it'll be interesting to see what they've actually done. I didn't realize that was a project going beyond beyond the basics.
We have, John, the organization is Parchment. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. But Sam Allen is the architect, and he's been the one that's been participating, and they're the ones doing this. But he's not on the call today.
Okay.
We thought he was going to be on the call today, but he's not on the call.
Okay. I'd love to see what he's done. I'll just, you know, warn the group that I think we really do have to start out with what does our JSON look like? There's some things that you would think are no big deal that are a big deal in JSON if you're not familiar with it. I'm just becoming familiar with it to that level. And I'm trying to put together some slides for this group that will, serve as hopefully a starting point, at least something we can look at and say, wow, yeah, that's what good JSON looks like, and we have reasons why. If we get too caught up in the translation methodology now and what can be done, we could very well wind up with something that is complex and burdensome on the people that actually go and use this. It's like why I said that ease of implementation in the mission statement really resonated with me, because you got to kind of check that all the way across the board. If you're going to translate this, does it translate, readily? What does somebody have to, what kind of effort does it take to translate it? If somebody gets the translated version, what do they have to do to consume it? That's where we got it wrong. If somebody needs to go back again, well, what does that translation look like? We really missed the fact that we were losing a lot of data and creating a lot of inconsistencies with our first translation scheme. Especially around lists and optional attributes. Those are the two biggest pain points. But another one that winds up being very, very interesting when you're working in the JSON world, and something I'm trying to capture and get ready for this group, is, what do you do when something's empty? Just so you know. We may spend a lot of time about talking about nothing, literally having an empty array, an empty object, or a null, or a blank value in JSON can be very telling compared to something similar in XML. So just bear that in mind. And trying to get as much of that figured out. So
joining the meeting.
Alex Strackel.
Oh, Alex. Motion
hi,
to
Alex.
Hey, Alex.
I figured I would jump on to see if you guys were still on. But don't let me interrupt whatever conversation you guys are having. Please continue.
I just stood on a soapbox, and I'm going to let people respond.
was it a soapbox?
Well, I think what John has several years of experience of doing this, which we don't, and he's providing a lot of the insights that I would have never seen. And we would have probably gone down the same road that they went down and had to learn it ourselves. And so I think he's really shortcutting this issue, and it really is different. I mean, my conception now is very different than when we started this, and that's partially because of John's input. So gotten a lot of value out of this conversation. But Alex, it's easier for you to lead. You're going to lead the meeting on Thursday, right?
Wait, hold on. Just make. At PASC.
I have to connect with you, Alex, and fill you in on some of the blanks. There's more to that. Is because I'll be running another meeting. And Michael will be dialing in, so I need you there to help run the meeting, the JSON Task Force meeting.
That's absolutely fine. I'll absolutely do that.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to talk to you about, and a few other little knickknacks.
Yeah, that's good. You know, you know me. I'm at your service, so I will absolutely do that.
Yeah. But I was just bringing up the speed a little bit, and we're recording the call, so, you know, if you have nothing to do, you know, later on, and you need something to sleep on, you can listen to the recording. But we were going over the sort of the mission statement and wordsmithing it, and a newer version came out, and I think, Michael, maybe you can take the next couple of days and send out an updated version of some of the changes we talked about.
Yeah, it's pretty much I sent out Steve's version, and we need to wordsmith that a little bit, but I mean we need to add some things,
yeah,
in terms of PESC and A4L. But aside from that, I think we agreed it's pretty good starting point for us to continue the discussion.
Version 1.
So Alex, you might want to take a look at it.
But Michael, if you could do those edits and send it out again.
Yeah, we'll add that, the section on the partnership.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll
because
send it
that's
out.
What we can kick the meeting off with at the summit, to get people warmed up, give them a little bit of history on what's going on, and walk them through the process. You know, we're developing a mission statement. We're PESC and A4L are partnering on this approach, and we talked about, you know, executables we might have. Alex, we also talked about a timeline in that. It might be important for us, as some of our members are already starting to use JSON, and that to me is a big sign. And so I don't want to say 2019. You know, 14 months is way too long, but I'm not sure where you go from there. So that was one of the things that we talked about would kind of bubble up, is when we start talking about vision now and what's our vision for this project and, you know, a timeline might kick out of there. But we're talking about really using the in-person time to organize this approach and get the balls moving.
And Alex, I don't know if you were, how much you were involved with some of the conversations we've had recently. I know you've been off and on, so I can't remember which ones, but I think that the approach we're taking is really something that fits into something we were doing before when we were looking at moving our schemas to Neem. It's not doing the same thing, but it's really talking about restructuring our XML so it will interoperate well with JSON. So it's not just a matter of translation or things like that. It's really looking at these two exchange formats and deciding, you know, how do we simplify our XML so that comparable JSON is acceptable to the JSON community. So that's really, it's a different approach than we were thinking before. We certainly could, and A4L has been doing this for several years, we could certainly just translate XML into JSON. And the experience John has had is, what happens is, people aren't happy with the JSON. The people that are coming from that camp. So this way, if we can simplify our XML, maybe get rid of attributes, and that's not a big deal for PESC, move those attributes into elements, get rid of I'm trying to think of what other problems we have. And John pointed out we got to figure out how to handle empties and nulls and nillables and all those sorts of things. But I think we could probably restructure our XML with fairly simply and through automation on the schemas to produce something that then, if we translated, no matter what means we use, we would end up with something that was of value to the JSON community.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
And just so you know, Alex, I've been recommending we start with the JSON, work towards what that means for the XML, and then we can, of course, always write our documents from the point of view. So you want to have some XML. Here's what happens going to JSON. If we want to, or we can say, hey, you've got some JSON. Here's what it looks like in XML. But the point being, JSON is as far as number of tools you can throw into the structure is more limited than the XML. It also has some places where it's actually richer, like, for instance, calling out an empty list as an empty array, or a list of one things as an array with one thing in it. Whereas if you just look at the XML and don't look at the schemas, you're blind to those things. So I think the right thing to do is start with the JSON, figure out what that means for the XML. Then we can look at the XML and figure out how that gets back to being JSON that we started with.
So, gentlemen, Susan and Michael, whoever, I guess Michael and Alex, because you'll be leading the call. And John, I'm not sure if you're available on Thursday for the dial-in time.
What is the dial-in time on Thursday?
Let me get that for you. Exactly. It is Thursday at 1:30 to 3.
Which time zone?
Eastern.
Oh, okay. I could. Alex and I both know what it's like to have somebody calling into a meeting. It varies greatly on the technology on the meeting side.
Well, Michael Morris will be dialing in. Michael Morris.
Along an invite. Just,
Michael Morris will be dialing in as well.
Yeah, but he's laid back and reactive, whereas I'm, get on a soapbox, make a point, talk for 10 minutes.
But I'll be sending out calendar invites for the JSON meeting.
Do you have a phone? Do you need me to get a meeting?
We do need a WebEx and phone. Yes.
Yeah, I only have, and everybody complains about Skype because people with Apple products seem to not work with Skype very well. So that's what I can offer.
You can set up a WebEx, Michael?
I can't. I can set up only Skype.
I can set up a WebEx if we need it. If that would be useful.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So I'll set up a WebEx. I'll send you all the information, Michael, so you can include it. I'll let you do the inviting. I'll just set up the WebEx and send you all the info. Okay?
Sure. Alex, you're in the listserv. Now, I'm not sure if it's your Gmail account or your Bardic account. I can add both, but you can communicate to the pest tab list too.
That's true. Yep.
Yep. Just say, but if you want to send it to me and I can, shoot it out, that's easy too.
Well, we should include. Well, no matter what, Michael, I can definitely do that. But no matter what, it should be in the official invite so that it's there in the calendar entry, right? When people accept or you know what I mean?
Okay, cool.
Just so keep the sanity, right? I think we should definitely do that. And,
yeah, we can send it out on a calendar, yeah. That'd be great.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we needed.
I'll send that out to you in the next 15 minutes.
What is the problem? I'm just curious about anybody, an Apple user, what is the problem with Apple on Skype? It just doesn't work?
It's a Microsoft product, so it bombs on Apple. No.
The easy answer, Michael, is it's Microsoft. They're all at war with each other. They
I
are
know.
At war with each other.
So it's interesting, Michael, because I've got a Mac and I use Skype and I use it a lot. And, you know, when it comes to like sharing screens, oh man, I've got a 4-core, 8-thread system and Skype will, you know, use all of it and the audio will start dropping out. And it's just, you know, if you push it at all, it falls apart. If Alex and I want to have a conversation and just use audio, it works. But once you start getting lots of multiple people on and you try to share a screen and all this other kind of stuff, it just will absolutely eat your system.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, when I offered to use Skype for this meeting, said that it was not acceptable for them. So I will.
Yeah.
That's where we are. Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. I think we're out of time. We are out of time.
Yeah.
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock Eastern time.
Alex? Alex, you still with us?
I am. Yes, sir.
Do you have a minute to talk with me after?
Or
we can just continue on this call. It's nothing big. Everybody can just hang up and we can just talk for 2 seconds. But
I don't really. I have a meeting I have to jump to. I'm so sorry, Michael. Can we talk tonight maybe or tomorrow?
Tonight.
Okay, let's talk tonight then.
All right.
Yeah, that would be good.
Everybody look for an email from me with Alex's invite and all the details. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Leaving the meeting.
John Lovell.
Leaving the meeting.
Michael Moore.